The ballot box is the throne of America. The ballot box is the Ark of the Covenant. Unless we see to it that every man who has a right to vote votes, unless we see to it that every honest vote is counted, the days of the Republic are numbered. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years...
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
As we say, week after week after week.
What? Is there something else I should say?
I don't know. It's just kind of old.
Well,
but we do hope everyone does have a good week. That's not false.
It's kind of my
catchphrase
sign on.
I know. It just tends to get, like, old.
Yeah.
Not that it's not true or anything or, you know... wish anyone ill will or, you know, hope you had a crappy week kind of thing. It's just, is there another way to say hope you had a great week since we talked to you last time?
I don't know. Maybe our listeners can come up with a new catchphrase sign on.
Eh, never know. Maybe if we had time to think about it, we could come up with something.
But maybe.
Our weeks are so busy week after week. It's exhausting. Just saying. Don't give me that look.
Okay.
Anyways, you may continue.
I may continue and I will continue with the Twitterers.
That's usually how it goes.
Yes. So this week we have Kay Smith, The Honest Atheist, Will Weinbach, Healthy Lifestyles, 151 The Show, Nathan Dickey, who is the host of the Very Skeptical Trolling with Logic Podcast.
Podcast. If only you could talk.
Podcast, yes. And then The Uncanny Comics, or no, just Uncanny Comics. Not The Uncanny.
Not The.
Yes.
And it's a possibility you didn't screw anyone's name up this week, perhaps?
Well, at least the last one.
No, I meant, like, butchering names and whatnot, like you
tend
to do.
Probably not, because those look pretty easy.
One would hope so. At least every... Sorry, I know I keep hitting it. At least once in a while you know, don't butcher names.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me that look.
Mm-hmm.
Move on.
Anyway, I don't have any news this week.
No, we do not, because we have... a yakking session.
A very nice, very fun, very long yakking session.
Which I was not present for because, once again...
she was playing sick.
Well, it's so damn... what? You're an ass. Playing sick. It is so freaking smoky here, and I have asthma, and I also have allergies, so apparently that affects allergies. I mean, I know it affects the asthma, but, oh my god, I was, like, dying that day. Felt like a full-blown cold, but... it probably was because of the smoke, but either way, this crap needs to go.
I agree.
Anyways, I'm just yelling now.
Anyway, so on this yakking session, we had Justin Scott of the Eastern Iowa Atheist. Some of you will remember him as the guy who went around asking presidential candidates awesome questions like, what are you going to do for atheist?
Oh, well, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
And he's also an invocator like me.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we had about 30 minutes of actual interview time, and then we had another 30 minutes of off-record talking. Just
yakking away. Just talking away. You're in there for a good hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see some good stuff coming from this. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yes, dear.
On to the yakking session.
Yakety-yak! Yakety-yak! Don't talk back!
And welcome to another yakking session. This week we have Justin Scott. Justin Scott is the director of Eastern Iowa Atheist. Justin is an invocator, having given an invocation at city council meetings and the first atheist invocation at the Iowa House of Representatives. He is also known as the atheist voter for his goal of asking every major presidential candidate in 2016 election if they support separation of church and state and why an atheist should vote for them. Welcome to Secular Yakking, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. You know, we're a fairly political show and you're fairly political, so it makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things growing up, I was told, you don't talk about religion or politics, and now I can't get enough of the two, especially when you merge them together.
Right. That's kind of my feeling on that, which is why I do kind of what I do.
Sure.
Anyway, so you talked about growing up. Did you grow up religious?
Yeah, you know, we were kind of cafeteria-style Christians. I found out actually earlier this year doing some family history that I was actually baptized Catholic, which I was always led to believe I was baptized Catholic and then Lutheran, but I got some clarification on that, and it was just Catholic. So for the longest time, I've been a Catholic atheist, and I was confirmed Lutheran. And I guess I don't know what the rules are when you go from being a Catholic to a Lutheran and then all of a sudden to an atheist, but yeah, so I mean, we went to church on Sunday mornings. We did the whole Sunday school thing, but it was never fire and brimstone in our house. It was never, you know, what you hear in the Deep South or out in Utah about, you know, you're going to hell if you don't do this, and you better pray every day all the time and pray before you go to bed. It was never like that.
Okay, so kind of a fairly average American situation, I think. Very similar to mine.
The way I compare it is like we were the Diet Pepsi of religion.
Yeah.
Like you were technically drinking religion, but you weren't drinking the full octane version of it.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I haven't heard that one. I guess that makes mine a Coke Zero.
Yeah. Well, now it would be what? Coke Zero Sugar, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. All right. So how did you become an atheist? What drove you to that side of the tracks?
Sure. Do you hate to say the dark side?
I don't care.
Referencing the Star Wars.
Oh, we can say dark side.
Yeah. There was never one moment, and I think that's common for a lot of atheists. I think it's a gradual progression. And I had always been cynical about religion. I had always been cynical about my dad saying, oh, it's God's will, and whatever happens, it's God's will. And I'm like, I just went head-on with another car. How is that God's will? What are you talking about? And it was actually when my wife and I had our second child, he was pretty on top of us about getting him baptized and getting all the kids baptized. I said, Dad, come on, you know I'm not religious. You know I don't go to church anymore. And he wouldn't let up. And it was at that moment that it kind of like, you know, if there was a pilot light that was on, that was the thing that kind of ramped it up. And then at that point it was, I need to really dig into this. I need to figure out, am I religious? Is my family going to be religious? Why should we be religious? And I got some advice, and they, you know, somebody told me, just grab a holy book, doesn't matter what religion, study it, read it front to back. If it jives with you, great, follow it. But if it doesn't, be honest with yourself. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being an atheist. And that was the first time I'd ever heard that, you know, that hardcore word of, you know, just call yourself an atheist. You know, wait till there's something better out there. Wait till there's better evidence.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Yeah.
For the longest time, I kind of tried to stay away from calling myself that. I obviously bought into the negative connotations with it, that religion has given it and that society has given it. I didn't know that I wanted to be associated with it. And then it was David Silverman at American Atheist and Matt Dillahunty. I just tried to consume as much as I could. And it was those two saying, listen, we get to control the definition of it. We get to control what it means when we're out in public and we call ourselves that. And I just love what Matt says about, you know, wait until there's better evidence. There's no reason to dive headfirst into this if you don't have to. I just love that.
Yeah. Matt's amazing as far as his ability to talk about atheism and all that stuff. He's just amazing. He was a major turning point in my own secular activism. Is like, I'd like to be like Matt Dillahunty, you know.
I'm the same way. I mean, I wonder, when it's all said and done in his life, you wonder how many atheists he has created
right
from his activism.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to add about that, and I know a lot, I don't know how many atheists are diehard sports fans, but the comparison that I have is, you know, when you're a rookie or you're a freshman, whether you're in college or the pros, they always talk about how these athletes are just overwhelmed and everything's so fast. I kind of felt that same way when I really dove into the atheist world. Like, I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea who the names were, what the movement was even about. And everything was just happening so fast. And it was actually just listening to Matt. He was cool. He was calm, collected. And he was just like, listen, is there evidence out there for it? If there's not, don't jump head over heels into it. And it was like, at that moment, I could kind of take a deep breath, collect my thoughts, say, you know what? It's okay to have doubt. It's okay to have religionists out there saying, well, you don't have the answers. You know, why are we here? And he was the one that said, it's okay to say, you know what? We don't know. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You're making me think back way back to my beginnings, and it was pretty much a similar thing.
Sure.
And I think most atheists end up coming from that sort of viewpoint and running into those same issues. You know, there's just so much out there, and it's one or two voices that really make a huge difference.
You know, I've been in this now maybe a year and a half, 2 years. I think November is the two-year anniversary of when I confronted Rick Santorum, and that was really my kind of coming out party, if you will. And the more stories I listen to, the more deconversion stories that I hear, I don't hear stories of a church pissed me off and I got all mad and then I became an atheist because I was mad. Or, you know, my family member got cancer and they died this horrible death and so now I'm mad at this God. Like, it's not that.
Right.
It's actually just a deep skepticism about what they've been told or what they've heard.
Right.
You know, obviously you have those people that never had religion and were never around it, and kudos to them. But I actually don't think I would change anything about my experience because now I've had kind of feet in both worlds, if you will. So I can kind of see the way religious people and religionists, the way they think, you know, the people that really try to push it down your throat.
Right. Now, talking about how you got into this movement, let's talk about that. Let's go back to the presidential race.
Sure.
What made you decide to start asking questions? And let's get a little detail on the question itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always laugh about it because one part of it was boredom. I'm a professional photographer, and, you know, I book a lot of jobs that are months and years out in the future. And so a lot of times I just spend my time doing bookkeeping or marketing or emailing and things like that. And so sitting at work one day, I was just kind of hanging out, and I was tired of entering numbers into a spreadsheet. And so I turned on, I think it was a David Silverman interview with Aaron Raw, and they were talking about activism. And David, as passionate as he always gets in these interviews, he said, you know, saying you're an atheist is great, but what are you actually doing after that? Like, what are you out doing? And it was at that moment that I went, oh, crap, you know, what am I doing? Am I actually helping the cause, or am I just an internet warrior because I posted 5 memes today that criticize religion?
Yeah, I know how you feel.
Yeah, and so at that point, you know, you kind of take a deep breath and you start to say to yourself, like, okay, can I do this? Well, I feel like I'm a leader. I feel like I enjoy going out and taking things on head on, and I feel like I'm somewhat good at public speaking a little bit and getting out in front of people. And so I started sitting there going, well, maybe I could do this. And it was just a perfect storm because then as I'm scrolling through Facebook, there was a post from our local radio station saying, hey, Rick Santorum's going to be at a pizza shop today. And so at that moment, I was like, hey, this is perfect. I said, I should go ask him a question. You know, maybe it won't be the best question, but maybe I'll just, you know, get my feet wet in this thing and see if I can't do something with it. And so technology's come a long way, and I had this smartphone that I thought was the greatest thing ever, and I thought, hey, I could shoot video of this. Like, I had no plan, because at that point, I didn't have a YouTube channel for my atheism. I didn't have a catchphrase or a nickname. I didn't, you know, the Eastern Iowa Atheists were another year in the making. I was just this photographer guy at the time. And so I really had no plan. I just kind of drove out on a whim, and I waited. And then he sat down and started taking questions, and I just went for it.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I thought there would be more story to it.
Yeah, no, and really, it was kind of fun because when I got out there, there was hardly anybody there for him.
Really?
And I'm not saying that to dig on him, but it
is just a pizza joint in the middle of Iowa. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Well, the funniest story I like to share is, he had the back room reserved, and at the time there were maybe like 7 people in there, and of course 3 of them are his campaign staff. And so they end up saying, hey, we need to move you out to the floor where the regular diners are at. And so these are working professionals that are out there on their lunch. They're not out there for him.
Right.
So of course he walks in, he shakes hands at every single booth, and I'm kind of laughing inside my head, like, dude, you don't even realize these people aren't here for you. And he sits down, and I can't tell you, like, if people watch the videos I go out and do now, you know, I come in there, guns a-blazing, I know exactly what I want to ask, I don't hold back anymore. If they answer with a BS answer, I go right at them. But on that day, I was nervous. I mean, I was shaking. I was thinking, oh, goodness, they're going to kick me out. They're going to tell me to stop videotaping. They're going to gasp because I tell them I'm an atheist. I mean, all these irrational thoughts are going through my head. And so when I propped my smartphone up, I'm, like, trying to hide it behind napkins and my cup of pop, and I'm trying to, like, prop it so I don't have to hold it. But you know what? After I got started, I went, this is what he expects. He expects people to stick a phone in his face.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the new way of doing it. And so after I got the first question in, I mean, the rest of it was super easy, and it was like, hey, I can do this. Like, this is not hard. Like, maybe I was shaky on my questions, but the questions didn't have to be fancy. One of them was, how will you appeal to a conservative atheist? And the best part was, I don't think he was ready for it. I don't think he knew what to say. I mean, he was a polished politician, so he kind of worked his way through it. But just asking a lawmaker or a candidate anywhere in the United States, how will you appeal to people like me, just getting them on camera is half the work, or half the battle. It's already the first step in the battle.
Yeah. And kudos to you for getting in there and doing that. So did you get all of the major political or presidential candidates during the caucus?
I did. The only one that I missed out on was Martin O'Malley.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, he wasn't relevant in the Democratic race at all at any point. But when he first announced, I was actually the vice chair of a political party. So I had gone down and talked to him about different issues, but it wasn't purely from an atheist voter perspective. But you know what? 20 years from now, that's such a minor detail. Nobody's going to care. I mean, yeah. I hope what I did in 2016 in a small way influences or inspires others around the country to kind of try to do it in their own neck of the woods.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, after seeing that, I'm thinking I might have to do a little more political action myself.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If we can get one activist in every state to shoot one video and tag it with atheist voter, I mean, right away, you've got 50 candidates being videotaped by 50 atheist activists around the country.
Right.
And the thing is, these candidates, I mean, they probably know who the Social Security people are, who the Medicaid people are, in terms of, like, activists.
Right.
They know who those people are. You come walking in, and you just out of nowhere say, hey, I'm an atheist, and I want to know this. They aren't going to know what hit them.
Yeah,
and it's going to get to the. It's going to get to the point where they're going to be forced to figure out what their answer to our questions are, and they're going to have to be ready for it. And if we can start to get people around the country, I mean, if you're not comfortable doing it in your hometown, drive a half hour and go to a town that nobody knows you at. Mm-hmm. You got to put a little gas in your car and maybe bring a friend and hit up a fast food joint when you're done. I mean, talk them into it, but whatever you have to do to get out there and try this, it is exciting. I mean, seriously. To know that you've impacted a political race, even if it's for city council or for school board, go do it. Hey, school board candidate, what would you do if creationism got brought up in a classroom?
See.
I mean, if they can't answer that question, I don't think they need to be running.
Yeah, agreed. Now you got my wheels turning in the background, and I'm thinking, hey, where can we go with this? Because this is what I do.
Oh, yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. I mean, to think that it's really... And I've only started doing research on it now because it's behind me, but, like, I can't think of another time where an average Joe off the street went out and did something like this for atheism or for secularism.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
And I don't want to be so naive to try to compare our struggles with the LGBT movement. The LGBT movement and their struggles are just in a world of their own. But if you go out and watch Milk, and you watch the story, if I'm hoping I'm saying this right, is it Harvey Milk?
Yeah, it's Harvey Milk.
That was out in California. You watch the strategy of how he approached the challenges that he had. He took it right to him. He took it right to the opposition, and that's what we need to do. We need to go out to these town halls and not be the last person asking a question. Be the first one asking the question. Set the tone for the meeting. I was at a house party last night for a woman running for the race for governor in Iowa. She had no idea I was coming. She had no time to prepare for me. You know, and these people are going to get questions about school vouchers and about Planned Parenthood and about reproductive care, but they're not going to get it where somebody actually is willing to say, yeah, I'm an atheist, and I can't stand how religion tries to control things in our state houses. You know, nobody's going to ask that because nobody thinks that religion's the problem.
Right.
And we have a huge opportunity in front of us. It's exciting. I can't wait.
And then, you know, we do make up a pretty large voting block.
Absolutely.
I mean, and we span all political spectrums.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that my group is trying to do right now is we are making a list of every county in Iowa, and we are going to go one by one and look up the Republican Party of that county and the Democratic one, and then eventually the Green and the, you know, all these other groups. And we're going to ask them, are atheists allowed in your party? And that's going to be the thing that we use to get their ears up, if you will, perk their interest. And then once we have them, then we're going to follow up with, are you cool not doing prayers? Do you understand how prayers at your meetings are divisive? Can you see how a secular population doesn't want to come to your meetings if you're going to do prayer? And we're going to challenge them, and we're going to hold these county level people, you know, to account, so they understand, like, hey, we're out here, and we're going to put stats in front of them where we say, hey, did you realize 55% of your county reported that they're non-religious? Sometimes education is enough to get them to understand, like, wow, these people aren't just, you know, they're not just ranting at us because they want attention. Like, they're telling us the truth. Look at these numbers.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I hadn't thought of that before.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of tedious tracking. And if you're not into spreadsheets, definitely find a friend, whether they're an atheist or not. Excuse me. Find a person that likes to log all that info and get them to do that kind of work for you. But the thing I would also say is do it through Facebook from either your personal account or from your atheist/secular account, because when you post it to their page, it becomes public for anybody that follows them
right.
or you. And then that puts them on the hook, because then if they go a week without answering, you just add a comment, hey, did you happen to see our message? You know, and then it makes them look like they're avoiding you.
Right.
That puts even more pressure on them.
Yeah, and now with that recent federal court decision, they technically can't delete it.
Exactly. And, you know, here's the thought I had too, is then take it a step further, and if you actually get them to respond and they decide to be a smart aleck about it, take a screenshot of what they respond with. Don't get nasty and respond back with something stupid, but then screenshot it and post it on your page and say, attention atheists and secular activists, this is what Jones County, Oklahoma Republican or Democratic Party thinks of atheists. And
right.
Put them on blast and put it out on Twitter and start to generate a buzz. And before you know it, they might change their mind and they might go, yeah, you know what? We're hurting for voters. We're hurting for activists. We have a hard time keeping volunteers in our group. I guess we could afford to have some more conservative atheists join or more liberal atheists join, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that sounds like an excellent plan, and I'm going to actually start looking into doing that a little more often. I mean, I do my fair share of Facebook slacktivism, so.
Sure. And that's the perfect thing, too, is, like, if you're not comfortable going out in public, maybe this is your way of being kind of stealthy about it.
Right.
And there might be listeners that say, well, listen, there's not a group in my area, or there is a group in my area, but they really are just kind of a social group. They don't want to do any activism. Okay, you know what? Go create your own group. Justin, what are you talking about? Go create your own group. I don't have a group. I've never led a group in my life. Okay, great. What county are you from? Okay, I'm from Allamakee County. Okay, fine. Allamakee County Atheist. Doesn't matter if you've got one member or 15,000 members. These political parties they're not going to look at that.
No, they're not.
To their viewers and to the people that watch their page, they're going to just watch how they respond.
Right.
And then if they decide to just shrug you off, okay, maybe next time you send an email, but you copy the media on it and you say, hey, you never responded to my email, and we were just curious, are atheists allowed in your group? Please respond in a timely fashion, or I look forward to hearing from you in 3 to 5 days.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. You're going to have to ruffle some feathers, but.
Yeah. You can't get anything done in politics unless you're ruffling feathers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a good way. There's a nice way to do it too. I mean, it's not, you don't have to be a super jerk about it.
No. Which we found out, I found out early on when we were opposing In God We Trust on all this stuff. The nicer you are, the more likely you're going to get a decent response.
Oh, absolutely. And don't get me wrong. I take kind of a three-step approach. The first approach is always, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to assume that you've never heard of an atheist. I'm going to assume that you've never been confronted about not doing a prayer at a meeting or something to that effect. I'm just going to assume that maybe it never crossed your mind. But then when you don't respond, my second approach is that's when I kick on and I be a little bit more stern. And that's going to be, hey, you know, I sent this to you 7 days ago. I didn't hear a response back. I'm still going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You know, hey, maybe you just got busy and you didn't hear from me. But by three times, yeah, now there's definitely a reason.
Yeah. That's when the media comes into play.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've done that myself.
And it doesn't, and it still means that on the third try, you don't have to get evil and yell and scream and holler and be vicious. I mean, you can stay professional the entire time, but you know, don't be afraid to be a little pushy. I mean, yeah. Bill collectors, they're not very well liked, but you know, there comes a point where enough of the excuses, you're either going to pay us or not.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and I only say that because I was one for about 5 years, so I think that kind of helps me as well.
It may well do that.
Totally useless trivia knowledge, right? You know.
Well, there you go. Now we know. All right. So, what's next for you? Do you have any future plans?
Yeah, you know, what's funny is what I found out in the last 2 years is, as you go down this trek of activism, you kind of have two paths that are running side by side, and the one of them is the one you control, or at least you think you can control, or at least plan, and then there's that always that other one that just kind of happens. And a good example of that was right after the 2016 Iowa caucus came and went, I thought I was done. I was like, hey, that was a fun run. Let's get back to work, take some photos, and go back to being a dad. And all of a sudden, our mayor had announced that he was going to bring prayer back to city council meetings, totally out of nowhere. Like, we had no idea this was coming, and that turned into another opportunity. And if you're super motivated, no matter what part of the country you're in, and you don't feel like you have a group out there that can support you or help you or, you know, has your back in this, that's totally fine. Do like I did. Do it on your own. You know, just take these things head on by yourself. And at the end of the day, there's always somebody out there that can give you advice or suggestions. I mean, I'm a couple Facebook clicks away. If your listeners want to find me on Facebook or, you know, find me on Twitter and ask for advice and how do I do this and how do you do that, I'd love to help. So anyway, back to your question. You know, we're doing the county political thing because we feel like that'll help us get an in with these parties, because one way or another, if they answer, well, then great, we've started a dialogue with them. If they decide to get nasty with us, now we have an opportunity to raise awareness and educate. If they decide to work with us, then it's a success, because then we get them to stop doing prayers, and maybe they'll invite you in to speak for a couple minutes at their meeting where you can talk about the importance of a secular government. With the midterms coming up, we have a governor's race here. So we have about 7 to 10 Democratic candidates that are trying to run for the Democratic position, if you will, or candidacy. And we're going to be trying to hit that hard. We're going to try to find races, city council races. And now it's pretty neat for us, too, because in eastern Iowa, we've started to make a dent. People are starting to recognize who we are. They're starting to know when they see our logo, what we stand for. And so in some of these towns where they have city council members up for re-election, we've done invocations in those cities. And so one of the questions we might just send them an email on is, hey, where do you stand on our invocation? Did you agree with it? Did you not agree with it?
Oh, that's an excellent – I hadn't thought of that idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a simple one because it's, oh, hey, we're putting you on the spot about something that's already happened. So you can't sit there and say, well, I don't want it to happen. And you can get a real good idea of where they stand based on how they answer that one question. And not just what they say, but how quickly they respond, how passionate they are when they respond. Do they sound genuine? Are they BSing you? Because then, again, you can put it out to the media and say, hey, this guy or gal doesn't approve of an atheist delivering an invocation. Hmm. How inclusive is that? Because then when the media sees it, you put in a few stats that say, did you know that your county is now 55% non-religious? Does this guy or woman really represent you?
So,
and it brings on a whole side of that they didn't think of.
So now you've got me to where I have to write my state representative and ask him what he thought of my invocation at the state house when I did it.
Yeah, exactly. Or something like, would you sponsor the next one?
He didn't sponsor me, which I asked him.
Yeah, and neither did my state rep. I had to go to a state rep in a nearby county.
Yeah, that's what I did.
But then again, my state rep is a creationist loving, homeschool supporting, climate change denying, you know, one of those.
That sounds like mine.
Yeah.
Which is, oddly enough, is hard to find in Washington State, but, you know, I happen to move into one.
It seems like they're everywhere. Yeah. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, you've definitely given me and hopefully my listeners a whole lot to think about with the atheist voter idea, because that's amazing.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Atheist voter was never my idea. That was a brainchild of American Atheists. I kind of just jumped with it and ran with it, and
yeah.
They were very, very supportive, and they would love to have more activists out on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So by all means, if you're not connected with them and you want to connect with me, you know, let's create a coalition of just grassroots activism on the ground level, and let's make this happen. I mean, it doesn't matter if I know who the candidates are in California or Maine, but if we have activists out there that are kind of following the template that I've laid down, like, hey, we all benefit. And when these videos start to float around, we can all start to share them and start to make them go viral. And before you know it, holy crap, where did the atheists come from? Where did the secular world come from?
Yeah, I think it's great. We need to be a little more out there as far as political. I don't think we're quite ready for political parties and stuff like that yet, but let's definitely make our voice heard at the voting booth.
Absolutely. And what I found is if you own that label of atheist, it'll catch people off guard at first, but the second and the third and the fourth time you show up to town halls, you will start to get people that come up to you out of nowhere and they'll say, oh my goodness, I love what you're doing. Keep it going. And my favorite is when people come up to me and they say, I'm not even an atheist and I love what you're doing.
Yeah, that
That's
does
good
happen.
Stuff.
Yeah, that happens occasionally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, so final question. And this is something I ask all my guests. What is your favorite movie quote?
Absolutely. I have a good one.
Okay.
And it's kind of out of left field because it's from a Catholic priest. Like, why the hell would I like what a Catholic priest has to say? It is from a very popular 90s cult movie called Boondock Saints. Maybe it's a 2000. Maybe it's an early 2000s movie.
Yeah, I believe it's early 2000s.
Know. Yeah. So here is at the start of the movie what the priest says. Quote, now we must all fear evil men, but there is another kind of evil which we must fear most, and that is the indifference of good men. Now, I'd like to amend that and say good people.
Right.
Because whether you're male, female, non-binary, whatever description you use, at the end of the day, we can either sit there and watch religionists and theocrats try to take over our country, or we can get up away from the computer, get away from the meme makers, and go out and kick ass. I mean, that's really our choice right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe in being as active as you can and are willing to be. So,
absolutely.
All right. So I guess it's time for you to plug something. How can people reach you, Eastern Iowa Atheist and the like?
Yeah, absolutely. If you are from Eastern Iowa or have ties to Iowa, we'd invite you to our private group on Facebook. Otherwise, find our public page, Eastern Iowa Atheist, on Facebook. We also have a Twitter account, which is the @ symbol, the letter E, Iowa Atheists, with an S on the end, on Twitter. We do have an Instagram account. We don't use it that much. Otherwise, find me on Facebook, Justin Scott, S-C-O-T-T. There's probably something on my profile picture or cover picture that has to deal with atheism or something to that effect. So would love to connect with everybody. And I definitely like to get my hands dirty. I like to help people. I like to stay up late at night chatting with people to give them ideas and strategize. And some of my best ideas have come from late night chat sessions where people are tossing ideas around. So if you have an idea, let's make it happen.
Absolutely. And I'll also find and put all those links into the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Another good thing to do if you're bored or you want to see how we've done it in the past, find the Eastern Iowa Atheist on YouTube. Also, there's a Justin Scott YouTube channel, which I was using before we had the group set up. That's where you can find a lot of the presidential candidates' interviews. But other than that, go to Google, type in Iowa Atheist Justin Scott, and there's all sorts of links out there about some of the activism we've done.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely get that in there too. All right, well, this has definitely been enlightening, and definitely went a direction I wasn't originally intending. But that's good, because it's a yakking
session.
Yeah,
like I said, there's two paths, and there's always that one that you aren't ready for. So
right.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. Thanks so much for doing what you're doing.
And thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
All righty then.
That was a good yakking session, and as you'll notice, we have our new little intro to yakking sessions finally after all this time.
Yeah, I was just sitting around, and I was thinking,
I don't know why we didn't think of it sooner.
I don't know. I was sitting around earlier today, and I said, yakety yak. I wonder if I can find that song, and then it's copyrighted and all this other stuff. I didn't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then I was like, Schwarzenegger said that once. What movie was that? And I went and looked it up. Yep. Twins.
Yep, that's right. And it's perfect. So
it is.
Anyways, you had just, I mentioned it just because you had been talking about wanting to find an intro. Yeah, I
finally found
it. When we do our yakking sessions, the few times that we do them.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was a really good talk, and unfortunately, I couldn't be there because I could barely talk myself, let alone talk as long as you guys did.
I know.
But
like I said, I see some good stuff coming out of this. Atheist Voter is a pretty cool thing. American Atheist might be pushing that in the midterm elections coming up. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be pushing the Atheist Voter thing.
Right. Yeah. So. And do you need anything to put in the show notes things?
Yeah, there'll be all the links to all the stuff in the show notes.
Yeah, I mentioned it because you haven't mentioned show notes stuff in a while.
Well, I only put stuff in show notes when there's something particular.
Well, I know we tend to usually do it when we do a yakking session, too.
Well, yeah, there's always going to be links to whoever I'm talking to.
Well, that's
Come on. In the show notes. and just so you know, if there's a commercial that we run, so like some other podcast sometimes do, I usually put a link to their show in the show notes.
That is good. Yeah. I like that.
So other than that, you know, just show notes are just random musings about what we talked about.
It makes sense to me.
So, yeah.
But either way.
Anyway, I think that's all the yakking I got.
I think I'm good. I'll talk to you next week. Well, I guess we shall talk next week.
Yeah, because you're not doing it without me.
Oh, hell no.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a minute.
Bye-bye! Bye.